What is up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Another fantastic, life-changing, life-affirming, incredible episode for you today. Did I sell that enough? Draymond Green, a nice interview with Draymond Green came out, talking about his off-season and spending time in the draft room, being part of the Warriors draft this year. Another one about what keeps the Warriors motivated. A little preview of tonight's game. LeBron made his debut for the Lakers last night up in Portland. Got a ton of stuff to talk about. All of it's coming up next year on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Good one for you here. As the Warriors get set to take on the Utah Jazz tonight, Utah was able to beat the Sacramento Kings a couple nights ago. I think Wednesday night it was. Barely, though. We'll get into that a little bit later. LeBron James made his debut for the Los Angeles Lakers or whatever against the Portland Trail Blazers. Going to talk about that a little bit. I was actually more intrigued by the Blazers than the Lakers. And some Warriors news. Not so much news, but some interesting pieces out there. Some interesting tidbits, which I'm going to start with. The Athletic. I feel like I'm doing an infomercial for The Athletic. I filled in on the midday show up here in Sacramento the other day. We had the great Sam Amick on. He was part of The Athletic now. And he was saying, you know, I just keep bringing up stuff from The Athletic. I feel like I'm a walking infomercial. And I told him, you know, don't worry about it because I basically am that walking infomercial. They're doing incredible work over there. And they had some great pieces about the Warriors come out recently. And the first one was about Steph and why he should be in the MVP conversation, and but understands why he's not, and it's kind of also why I don't disvalue the MVP. It's just it's not a perfect award. None of the awards are perfect, so I don't put as much into awards anymore as I used to. And Steph nailed it. He was asked about, you know, should he be in the MVP conversation. He said there's no narrative. There's no storyline to follow for me. And that's a huge part of the MVP. Look at Russell Westbrook 2 years ago. Kevin Durant leaves. Hey, Russ is probably going to average a triple-double. He averages the triple-double. He's MVP. James Harden, you know, missed out on MVP the year Russ got triple-double. Probably should have won it that year. Comes back, plays just as well with Chris Paul. There was the storyline there of, you know, could they play together? Can they maintain how well the Rockets play, blah, blah, blah. By the way, Rockets did not look good opening night. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit too. But the storylines now are, you know, Giannis and Kyrie and Anthony Davis. By the way, my dark horse, which might be tough because there's no storyline yet, but if he plays well enough, there will be a storyline. Victor Oladipo. Back to the story, though. Steph, he's just very realistic and understands the situation for MVP. And like I said, it's also part of why I don't value awards as much as I might have used to. Because once you win one and then you win a championship, especially in the Warriors situation, the championships are what matter, not the awards. So the idea of busting your ass for 82 games to try and win an MVP when your main goal should be winning a championship, you know, it's counterproductive to the main goal. But that's besides the point. Steph also made the points. He knows he's gotten better. And Steph is, like a lot of the Warriors players and coach, I mean, it's almost like an organizational thing. They're just very realistic and very level-headed he mentioned that winning a championship is the goal. It's not getting MVP, even though he does believe he should be in the conversation. I think we all believe that, obviously. Just watch him play. But he knows he's gotten better. Something I noticed, he's gotten better as well. It's hard to not notice him getting better, especially him driving to the hoop, all night against OKC, finishing over Steven Adams. What was it? I think like 100 times. I'll check the numbers. Yeah, it was 150 times. That's crazy. So it was just interesting to hear from Steph in that vein, just that as, I don't know if humble is the right word, because he's not humble. No one as good as him is humble. But as not outwardly bombastic and boastful as he is, he knows who he is. He knows how good he is. There's no question about that. So I found that interesting. Another one was Draymond. Good interview by Anthony Slater. He interviewed Draymond Green and just about his offseason and spending time with the Warriors in the draft room and all that good stuff. Some interesting stuff in there. Nothing too crazy. I mean, definitely check it out. He talks about his contract situation coming up and how he thinks he's in the best situation because he gets to see what everyone else does first, which is a nice spin, but it could also be tough because he could be potentially be traded because he'd still be under contract. But this is all speculation, and you know, I'm just playing devil's advocate here. But it was interesting stuff, but I just saw all the draft room stuff and like the 16-game player versus an 82-game player, which was a great quote, but the problem right now is Jacob Evans is who they ended up going with, and like the big story about Draymond Green being there and having opinions and stuff, and like Jacob Evans has not been good. And by 16-game player, maybe he means he'll play 16 regular season games. That was mean. I've been saving that one. But yeah, it was just a funny little piece from my perspective, but also interesting. Draymond's always interesting. And then the last one was Ethan Strauss. Good to have Ethan back, one of the best writers out there. Talked about what keeps the Warriors motivated. And Draymond said this last year, and it's something that I believed, was it's more about the journey than the destination. And yes, obviously that's cliche, but for them, it's not trust the process, it's kind of enjoy the process, or the way Ethan put it, just the process. And the wins are going to come, obviously, but the motivation isn't winning, it's being focused and playing great basketball. And if you do that, the wins will come, and yes, they enjoy winning, obviously. One of the best lines in there was Sean Livingston, who, you guys know how I feel about Sean, one of my favorite players, people, to ever be in the NBA, but he basically was reflecting on some of the terrible teams he's been on and said, you want to enjoy winning? You want to learn how to enjoy winning and continue to enjoy winning? This is how you do it. Lose. Lose a lot, and you will love winning. So just, you know, a lot of good pieces from The Athletic. I don't want to give it all away because, I didn't write them. But you guys should definitely go check out all those articles that I gave you a little preview of. Nothing too crazy in there, but definitely interesting for Warriors fans like myself. Interesting tidbits that you're definitely going to want to read, so go check that out. Coming up next, we are going to talk about tonight's game and maybe review some of the opening week games, opening night games, however you put it. Like, I thought it was crazy the Lakers opened on Thursday and the Warriors opened on Tuesday. But it doesn't matter. This is Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What is up, everyone? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. Charles T. Hamilton, yada, yada, yada. The Warriors take on the Utah Jazz tonight. And just a little quick preview of tonight's game. Steve Kerr talked about in his post-game press conference interview, whatever. He didn't think the team is focused or ready or really even in condition right now, and it's going to be a couple weeks. And maybe that's Steve kind of motivating his guys. Maybe it's just the damn truth, because they did look a little out of sorts opening night. But again, it was also ring night, so we'll see. But tough test tonight against Utah. Even though game one, Utah looked pretty bad. Well, bad strong, but they barely beat the Sacramento Kings. They beat them, what, 123-117? And no offense to the Kings, but, you know, Utah giving up 117 to the Kings, and Utah's supposed to be the best defense in the game. Again, could just be opening night. Could be something bigger. Who knows? We will end up seeing. But if I'm the Warriors seeing the Jazz give up 117 to the Kings, I'm feeling pretty good offensively at the very least. Defensively, that was kind of where, well, also offensively, they were just, I don't know, they were a little sloppy, the Warriors were on Tuesday. So maybe they'll tighten it up, but you hope they do. I know this team, and it's kind of something we talked about with their motivation in that article by Ethan Strauss, like what keeps a multi-time championship-winning team motivated. And for the Warriors, it's been big games, and I don't know if a game like this will motivate them this early in the season, but there's been a lot of buzz around Utah, and we've seen the Warriors at times want to make a point of, we're still the Warriors. But also, we've also seen the Warriors just be indifferent and lackadaisical regardless of who they're playing. So it's tough to tell. And that's also why this team's so tough to bet on during the regular season, at least now. But that's another topic for another day. Things to look for tonight, obviously, Klay, tough shooting night that first game, 5 of 20, or I think 5 of 21, 1 of 8 from 3. Not that it's a problem. I mean, look, Klay's had bad games before. He always bounces back, and I'm sure he will, but whether it's tonight or not, that's something to look for. He will never stop shooting, though, so you don't have to worry about his aggressiveness going down or anything like that. It's just whether he's going to start making them or not. One thing you know for sure, he's going to be defending his mind out, his brains out. So, see how he does against Donovan Mitchell, who had a fine game opening night. Wasn't stellar or anything like that, but he was fine. Draymond, how does Draymond look? Can he kind of tone down some of the turnovers? He had 6 turnovers in that first game. Some of them were really, really bad. Can he kind of rein that in a little bit? He had 5 assists, 6 turnovers. Was good defensively, good on the boards, but the turnovers were terrible. And with Draymond, you know, he might not get you buckets in a game, which he didn't do against the Thunder. So maybe he does it tonight, maybe not. But the turnovers, he's got to clean that up. But again, game 2 of 82-game season. KD, fine game. Game 1, not stellar, though. Can he start knocking down threes? I think he went 1 of 5. So, I mean, that was really the only problem. I think he went 9 of 21, something like that, on his shot. So maybe a little more efficient. Steph was great. Lost a little bit. Not lost, but missed a good amount of shots in the second half. So, you know, can he find some consistency from first half to second half? Damian Jones. You knew we were going to talk about Damian Jones. Can he continue some solid play against Rudy Gobert? This is another tough test for him. He's definitely the best matchup size and athletically when it comes to Rudy. But again, Rudy Gobert is, you know, an all-star. Former Defense Player of the Year. Damian Jones is getting his second start in the NBA. As you know, I like Damian Jones. We'll see. This will be another good test. And there's going to be bad games also. That's the other thing. Is this one of those bad games? I'm actually more intrigued about him playing against Jokic, who's a much more skilled, crafty offensive center than Gobert. So that's another thing to look out for, obviously. And, I mean, look out for all season. But his contract, the decision on his fourth-year option is coming up October 31st. I think it's almost a lock that they pick it up. But keep putting more good stuff on film and make it a actual lock. Force their hand. Make them make the decision before October 31st. Rotation-wise, I'm interested to see. I think Quinn Cook will still be the first one off the bench over Jacob Evans. Andre Iguodala, questionable for tonight, says he feels pretty good, but not sure if he's going to play or not, so you'll have to keep an eye out for that. Sean Livingston, obviously, is going to do what Sean Livingston does. And then also rotation-wise, Looney was the first big off the bench. He came in for Draymond and was playing some backup four. I expect we'll see some more of that, unless what would be a classic Steve Kerr move, and it's also something to look for, he decides to give Jonas Jerebko some run against his former team. I think Jerebko will get some run against his former team regardless, but Steve could decide to make him the backup power forward for this game, and maybe that gets Jerebko going. He was fine in that first game, you know, only had 3 rebounds in a short amount of time. I think he only took 1 shot, if that. But he wasn't glaringly bad like he was at times in the preseason. So maybe going up against his former team kind of locks him in a little bit. We'll see. But even more interesting is the Jordan Bell situation. Look, I agree with all the people out there that Jordan Bell is a damn talented player and does some really good things. He also does some boneheaded stuff. And there's obviously some more to it than just what happens on the court. You know? Like, there's some practice tendencies, there's some immaturity, there's something that Steve Kerr doesn't love about Jordan Bell right now. And he's got to figure it out and fix it if he wants to be getting more playing time. Or it also could just be a tactic of, you know, Jordan Bell, I have to make sure you know that your shit does stink. You know, don't get a big head about playing well with the defending champs or anything like that. Who knows? But I was surprised that Looney got the second or first big off the bench role. But if you look at how Looney played, it makes sense because he played great. I think Looney was the best center in game one, or best big, because he got time as a power forward as well. So we'll see. That's another thing to look at. I mean, what else is there? Alphonso McKinney got like 2 minutes, which isn't that big of a deal. But when you look at the fact that Jacob Evans didn't get any, I don't know, another thing to look at. Because the other thing with Alphonso McKinney is his contract isn't guaranteed until January 10th. January 10th is the date that every single player's contract in the NBA becomes guaranteed. So, almost similar to the Damian Jones situation, let's play him and see what we got. Do we want to guarantee his contract at that date, or do we need to try and find a different way to go? And Alphonso McKinney is kind of directly tied into Pat McCaw. And you know it was coming, some Pat McCaw talk. I have to do it. Steve Kerr was asked about Pat McCaw earlier today. And he basically said, you know, we're still in contact. We still want him here. There's no question about it. But it's up to him. The ball's in his court. And whether he decides to come in or not, it's just up to him. I think... And I'm paraphrasing here. I don't have the quotes right in front of me. But basically he was saying, you know, I think it'll get figured out to where he's a part of the Warriors and on this team. But I don't know. It's still a weird situation. And hopefully it gets figured out. But I don't know. It was just some minor news from the Pat McCaw stuff. And none of it really that mind-blowing or anything. As you guys can tell, I'm vamping. Here it is. Steve was asked about it. He said he's a restricted free agent, so he have his rights no matter what, whether he accepts the contract that we've offered or not. We've been in touch with him occasionally, and he's going through his own thought process. This is all... from Steve Kerr with Damon Bruce on the Damon Bruce Show, 95.7 The Game. He went on to say, he knows where we stand. We'd love to get him here. There's still a place for him here. He just has to make up his mind which direction he wants to go. Steve also said, we have faith it'll be with the Warriors again, and we'll just be patient as this goes. There it is. I'm confused. I'm annoyed. I'm upset. I want it to be over. I'm sure Steve Kerr does too. So I think that's it as far as tonight's game goes. You know, obviously with whether Andre Iguodala plays will be big or not. Plays or not will be big. Because one thing he does really well is, you know, he goes out and locks down Joe Ingles, who's a huge part of the Utah Jazz game plan. So keep an eye on those things. keep an eye on just how the Warriors play and just how crisp they look, or if it's kind of sloppy and, you know, they end up bailing themselves out at the end of the game because they're superiorly talented. But all that stuff really doesn't matter because NBA basketball is back, Warriors basketball is back. This is the best time of year, and you are listening to Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I am your host, Charles D. Hamilton. I wanted to go over some quick things from last night and two nights ago, I guess. Houston Rockets did not look good against the Pelicans. Pelicans looked really good. Again, one game sample size, but when are we going to decide that Carmelo Anthony is washed? When is like Bleacher Report going to decide that Carmelo Anthony's washed? Not send out all these tweets with like the big eye emojis, like Carmelo hit a three in practice or some bullshit. I'm tired of it, man. Look, Carmelo, come prove me wrong that you're not washed and you're still great and a major contributor to a good team. But until then, dude, like, I'm just over it. Over it. Losing Ariza, losing Mbamute, I don't think the Rockets are going to be very good defensively. Offensively, if Paul and Harden don't have it going, I mean, what are you going to do? What else you got? So, I don't know, game one, I'm sure they'll be fine. I'm sure they'll still be a great team and, you know, top four seed or whatever, but they are definitely knocked down the ladder as far as being a contender against the Warriors. Big game last night, I guess, was the LeBron James taking on the Portland Trail Blazers, right? They're the LeBron Jameses. The LA Lakers taking on the Portland Trail Blazers. I'm intrigued by this Trail Blazers team. Again, not to the point that they are contenders with the Warriors or anything, but I like what they did in the offseason. The Blazers ended up getting the win. I think it was like 128-119, something like that. Dame and CJ had a rough first half, but Nick Stauskas came out on fire, okay? Like we all expected. And this is complete hindsight here because it's Nick Stauskas. But if he, you know, if he keeps shooting like this, if he shoots around 40%, that would have been a wing the Warriors should have gone after because I think he signed a minimum deal. But doesn't matter at all, like at all. And complete hindsight too because he'll probably be back down around 35% by the end of the year. But LeBron, you know, LeBron didn't have his best game, wasn't hitting shots. And we saw immediately with the Lakers their lack of shooting. I thought it might be a little bit overblown, but I think Josh Hart is their best three-point shooter. Lonzo Ball is just, dude, why is there such a overwhelming support for Lonzo Ball? You know what kind of, I don't know, if made me laugh or pissed me off is the right term, but on, what is it, NBA Tonight, whatever it's called with Chuck and Shaq and all them and Kenny, EJ, great show, but they're watching the Lakers highlights and the Sixers highlights. You know, I'm pulling for Markelle Fultz. Like, I'm pulling for Lonzo Ball. Those are good kids. We're pulling for them. But we just spent the last 12 years on JaVale McGee. I get the out of here. I don't want to hear that at all. Like, I don't understand where this random support for random players comes. I also hope that they're good and figure it out. But as far as like this sympathetic NBA Tonight thing, like get out of here, dude. You guys almost ruined a guy's career by just talking trash about him nonstop. So anyways, JaVale looked fine with the Lakers, standard JaVale, but he played like 20-something minutes. You know how many times he played 20 minutes with the Warriors? None. And there's a reason for that. And that's another problem with the Lakers. And who knows what the mindset is of LeBron and Magic and all the Lakers, but this team is not, definitely not contending for a championship. They might be in playoff position, but going into last night, I would have said Portland's better. And after the game, Portland proved that they're better. So, I don't know, man. I don't know what the Lakers are doing. I don't understand some of the people that think that they're good. I get LeBron, obviously. But when you look at the surrounding cast, unless there's going to be a major step taken by one of these, you know, young players, I just don't see it personally. Josh Hart looks good, but like a good role player. Kuzma looks good, but he has his deficiencies. Ball, I don't know. Okay, maybe a role player, but you don't need Lonzo Ball as a role player when you have guys like LeBron James and Rajon Rondo who do what he does, but a lot better. Brandon Ingram, there's flashes, but I mean, just another mid-range shooter pretty much. So, I don't know. I was not impressed by the Lakers. Kind of what I expected out of them. Portland looks solid. I like what they did. Mostly what I like is they lacked three-point shooting. You know, they had for Al-Farouq Aminu. Mo Harkless hit 40% from three last year, but neither of them take a lot of threes. You know, those are small, efficient sample sizes for those guys. They, you know, I think Harkless takes like two a game. And that's great that you can knock down 40% when you're taking two a game, but if you're not going to open that up, then we need more three-point shooters. So they go out, they sign Seth Curry, who I tweeted out last night, I am irrationally invested in his success. I don't know why, but he looked good, knocked down a three, had some moments for sure. Nick Stauskas stole the show, which those are both solid three-point shooters, and you also got them for cheap. That's the other thing. They hung on to Jake Layman, who we'll see how it works out. He didn't get a lot of playing time the last 2 years, so his three-point shooting looks bad, or the numbers do at least. But maybe it's a situation where I've just seen one time he looked really good. I don't know if you guys remember. He made his NBA debut in garbage time against the Warriors. Warriors were up like 30. And Jake Layman comes in, scores 17 points in like 2 minutes, knocks down a bunch of threes, a monster dunk. And, you know, Warriors end up winning by like eight. But that has always kept me intrigued by Jake Layman, his size, his ability. So whether he works out or not, we'll see. But there's potential for that to be another good three-point shooter on this team. At the very least, it's a depth piece who is another guy who I think would be solid on the Warriors because of his size and positional versatility. He's what, like 6'9", 215, can play the three and the four, great athlete. And then his three-point shooting, which is a question, I believe in it, but it's still a question mark, and he could easily prove me wrong and be a terrible three-point shooter. But I just like what Portland did. They went and tried to fix a problem, and as far as we can see right now, they've done that. They have three-point shooters besides Dame and CJ and, you know, guys that only take one or two a game. So I like what they did. Zach Collins looked good. Yusuf Nurkic had a hell of a game, which also is where JaVale's deficiencies really come into play. So I thought Portland looked good. I like what they did. I think with the additions they made, they're more legit of a top Western Conference team, if that makes sense. Like, weren't they the 2 seed last year? Something like that. They were a higher seed than I thought they would have been and got swept in the first round. I think they'll be better than that. I think they'll still be up in that top 4 seed position in the Western Conference, but I think that'll be a little more legitimate than it was last year. I think that does it for Locked On Warriors. Be sure to check out tonight's game. They got Denver on Sunday. I'm sure I'll toss out another pod tomorrow. A little game review and another game preview for you. Thank you guys so much for listening. Have a safe weekend. Have fun, but be safe. This is Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We'll be right back.